9 a.m. on April 3rd, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett, and my co-host Elizabeth Gordon is out today with a stress fracture in her foot. She can't walk, so she couldn't cobble. We couldn't get her to hobble on in here. But we still have a great show lined up for you, and I have some great guests in the studio. Today I am joined by Janie Shelton from V-Rooms.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm well. And also Ron Hakala. Hakala?
Did I say Hakala?
Hakala. All right.
Well, hey, Dana.
We're just going to butcher that over and
go.
Over again.
Most
all
people
right.
do.
He is the membership manager at the Kurahi Club in Toccoa. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys here. You know, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago I did the show, and I went to read the intro, and I said, it's October. And then I said, why did I say and it, because it was just so cold still. I don't know why. It just came out of my mouth. And I literally, I'm not kidding you, had a nightmare last night that I did the show today and said it was October. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But it is not. It is April. And it is the first week of April. And I don't know about you guys, but I every year somehow forget about April Fool's Day. And I always get suckered in by some stupid something. And then I realize, oh, and then I think, am I... So my question is, and I have several news stories relating to April Fools, because today's the third. So this was just 2 days ago. And I woke up to, I was watching, I think it was either Good Morning America or one of the morning shows. Do you guys watch those shows at all?
Sometimes.
Of course, you tune into
rarely,
the show but regularly. But
yes, we're always listening.
Of course.
To the show.
Very, yes.
But they did some April Fool's story about a scientist discovering like the language of chimpanzees or something. And they, you know, they had this whole story with like, you know, documentary footage and whatever of the scientists talking to chimpanzees. And it was,
right.
did seem kind of silly and far-fetched, but honestly.
You bought it.
I hadn't really had my coffee yet. And it, yeah, okay, I bought it.
Yeah.
And then I felt stupid for buying it because really when you thought about it, it was a really stupid story. But like somehow I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And darn it, it's April Fool's. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, Google did a bunch of April Fool's jokes this year, including announcing that YouTube was shutting down because it had wrapped up an 8-year-long mission to find the very best video on the internet. So I guess it had found it and that was it. It was done. They also took Google Maps and made them look like old treasure maps instead of actual maps. I don't know if anyone saw that. They also had two other things. I think they said it was they were announcing Google Knows, which was like a sensation in search. Ha, ha, ha.
Right.
And they also said they were releasing Gmail Blue. And the tagline was, it's Gmail, only bluer. So those were their...
so bad.
Yeah. And so
they
and
are bad.
It's funny because Chick-fil-A also did an April Fool's prank. And this one, I mean, it's not going to translate as well on radio. You kind of had to see the pictures. But they released a thing about, like, they did, you know, those nose strips you put on to, like, for your skin or whatever?
Bior.
Yeah, Biore or whatever it is, right? This is a girl thing. You wouldn't understand.
I'm totally
but they
lost.
Were.
Ron is like blank deer in headlights. But yeah, well, they made a Chick-fil-A strip that looked like that supposedly, you know, helped you breathe better and smelled like a chicken sandwich or something.
That's terrible.
And then they also did Chick-fil-A like a gum that was going to taste like chicken sandwich.
Ew.
But it was a joke, obviously. And if I have any others. I think that was it. But the reason I printed out the stories and wanted to talk about it was because, first of all, I just wonder, like, I was in a marketing department for a while at one point in my career, and we did things like this. We came up with stupid things to do for April Fool's Day, among things to do for every kind of holiday, because you're always trying to get the attention of your clients. And I'm sure this is something you can both relate to, even though you're in very different industries, and you're certainly not in retail or restaurant businesses. But you're always trying to get the attention of your customers, right? So I guess the question is, like, how far do you go? Like, how much humor is appropriate? What do you guys think?
I think some people will be okay with it. I think most people will. It just depends on how far you go.
Yeah.
You think it's age-related at all?
I wonder.
Most of my crazy ideas came when I was younger.
And then you kind of get over it.
I thought of a lot of things this year, but then I ended up not playing any of them.
You know, I think a lot of it, one of the things that always interests me just about humor in general, this is something I give a lot of thought to for some unknown reason, but I have
You're
a girlfriend.
An entertainer.
Well, that may be it. I have one of my best friends is a writer. She's a published writer. She writes women's fiction, but she writes sort of humorous women's fiction. And she sort of always gets criticized to some extent because she doesn't kill people in her books. you know, she deals with serious topics, but she does it with humor. And we had this whole conversation about the fact that humor doesn't mean it's not good writing, doesn't mean it's not dealing with issues on all of these things. It doesn't mean it's not serious.
Right.
And I think about that in terms of business radio, because a lot of business radio and business television that you see is really serious. You know, Bloomberg, and all they do is sit around and say the stock is up and the stock is down, and it's boring,
right.
You know, frankly. And my attitude is, up to a point, that people are who are doing business. So the same people that enjoy watching a sitcom or going to a comedy show, they're still people. Just because they're at work doesn't mean they don't like to be entertained or enjoy some humor.
Right. Well, the New York Times or the USA Today, they have the comic humor, I mean, all right. the time. So
right, right.
That's been going on for years.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. And so so there is a line. And I think maybe the question is just how far do you go? Where do you cross the line? And
as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, I think anything.
It depends on how well you know them, probably.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really good point, because I do think it depends on who you're trying to sell to. You know, like I can tell you that my 80-year-old stepfather, who is a very successful businessman, probably wouldn't appreciate an April Fool's joke as a marketing tool. Like I don't think he would be offended, but I don't think he would. It wouldn't make him enamored to the brand.
Right.
Whereas my 20-year-old daughter, I think, might like a brand better if they did an April Fool's joke, right?
Right.
Well, I think marketing people probably come up with a lot of good ones, because, to me, the best definition of marketing I've ever heard was this manipulation of perception.
Okay.
I mean, pure and simple.
Yeah.
Could be good, could be bad. So, you know, all you're trying to do on April Fool's Day is to manipulate perception,
right,
that there's something going on.
And
right.
When I worked at UPS corporate, they said perception is everything.
Well, so. I think that's in a large way true. And I think it is interesting, because you're right. It's sort of like we would do, I know at the marketing department I worked in, you know, we did like a spoof on April Fool's, and we said we were going to open a outlet on Mars and all this kind of crazy stuff. It was so obviously not real. Like, in a way, I mean, I think people, the Google ones and even the Chick-fil-A ones, I think were pretty clearly not real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The problem with the story on the news was that it like almost seemed kind of real-ish. And so then I felt a little duped, you know? And then I'm like, oh, well, I guess that's my own fault, because it's April Fool's. But
the only one I can remember is I was probably like 8 or 10 years old. And I was back and forth, cell phones and all that. And my grandfather calls me, and he's saying, hey, Ron, what's that crow doing out there on your mailbox? And I thought to myself, well, how in the heck does he know there's a crow on my mailbox? And so, you know, I dropped the phone, went over to the front window and looked out. And there's no crow there. I come back there, you know, and he hit me with April Fool. So, I mean, I remember that. That's the only thing I remember.
I think the thing is, it's some people love practical jokes, and I think April Fool's is a big practical joke kind of day. And so,
right.
You know, I don't particularly like them. I just like a different kind of humor. I don't like that feeling of discomfort that you get, whether it's not you being the brunt of the joke, even if someone else is. I feel bad for the person that's the brunt of the joke. I don't know.
Oh.
If it's embarrassing.
That's the problem. Yeah. I think I just feel bad for people. I have trouble watching those really like silly comedies where the characters are just doing things that are – you can just see them going down a path of just, it's not going to be good. And I feel bad for them. I just can't get past that.
I get fooled in the sixth grade, so I don't get fooled anymore.
See, I'm no girl. Now listen, speaking of stupid, I picked this headline out because I just love sometimes to focus on stupid people, because it's just so much fun.
Is that why we're here?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. No. Okay. Walmart cashier steals thousands, brags on Facebook.
That is stupid.
Come on.
I think both of those things were stupid.
Yes. Yes. So
like, I don't know which one is more stupid. So
I mean, apparently this guy took literally took cash from the cash registers at the Walmart. So first of all, the fact that their controls are such that he was able to steal $3,000 out of the cash registers at the Walmart. It was at the Walmart on Haynesbridge. And then he took a picture of himself and showed himself with the cash and a caption that read, "I love my job."
Oh, terrible.
Do you remember those books about like Darwin or whatever, and they just saw all the people that did stupid things and ended up killing themselves or whatever? Like, this guy needs to be in the book. Really? Dude. Like,
he deserves to be arrested.
Something's missing. That's all we got.
I mean, if you stole the $3,000 and you managed to get away with it, just be quiet. And spend the money. I'm not suggesting that people should steal, but like,
is that what you're saying?
I am not.
Take and run.
But don't go on Facebook. I mean, It's like that, you know, it's unfortunate because it is a new thing for parents. Now, I don't know how old this guy was, but it's a new thing for parents that we sort of need to teach our kids not only to behave a certain way, but that no matter what, whether they're misbehaving, behaving, whatever, don't put it on Facebook.
No, I said there's some Facebook etiquette, but I don't think it's followed.
But, you know,
at least by a certain generation.
Right. I mean, I said they're so free. They don't think anything about mm-mm. what's out there. Mm-mm. It's their
own. They're so young. They don't realize that that some of this will come back on them later.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter's a junior in college, and I say, you know, multiple times I've said, like, you know, and she doesn't do anything that bad. I mean, she's really pretty. It's not like she's doing Girls Gone Wild or anything crazy like that. That I know of. Well, then good. As long as I don't know about
it. That's right.
At 20, that's fine.
It doesn't hurt you.
Right. As long as she doesn't. My theory of parenting was don't be stupid. Like, that was my number one rule for her. When you're out in the world, just don't be stupid.
Right.
Whatever decision you're making, don't end up in jail. Don't end up in the hospital. Don't up dead. Like, these are just
pregnant.
My son goes, Mom, diseased, I'm not pregnant. Stupid.
Good. Good.
He's 24 years old, married already. But I always say, now, Zach, and he goes, Mom, I'm not stupid.
And that's that. Then you did your job. See, then you did your job. But it has to carry over onto the internet, because these kids don't even think about the fact that, you know, showing themselves with a joint in their hand or a beer in their hand or whatever. Like, if an employer is looking at that, they're going to say, you know.
Right.
So
they have their own language now, too. So,
well, that's for sure true. But here's the thing. Like, have a beer in your hand. Look like you're partying. That's one thing. Steal $3,000 and put your picture on the. Come on. That kid's mother should be shot. I'm just saying. And okay, that was wrong, and I apologize. I haven't had enough coffee. Sorry. It's probably not her fault. All right. Coffee. Speaking of, coffee, please. I don't know where our coffee service is today.
Ritz has a good coffee shop over there.
Right across the street. There we go. So, speaking of online, I don't know how much online shopping you all do.
I do some. I did all my Christmas shopping that way.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I never went into a store.
That's very progressive.
I bought some things from Tiger Direct lately.
It's funny because obviously internet shopping has gone on for quite some time. And I sort of gradually got more and more and more comfortable with it. Now I don't even think twice about it. You know, maybe if a website looks hanky, I won't do it. But for the most part, all the big names, no problem. Well, one of the advantages we've had and enjoyed is that if the store didn't exist in your state, you did not pay tax. Well, I guess they're starting to say that's not cool anymore. So the U.S. Senate is now discussing the creation of a national internet sales tax. Sales tax, if I can get it out.
Well, I believe you have to have, you can't store your items, like, if especially if it's electronics, cell phones, etc. If you're selling those, you can't store them in the home. So it can't be a home business. You have to store them outside.
Yeah, there are more and more rules, I think, around what is okay. Though it's so, I'm some of it's going to be a sales tax they'll be able to enforce, because Amazon, they'll know whether or not.
Because we all buy so many electronic gadgets and then we resell them on eBay.
Yeah, well, that, I don't know about that. That they
will
can
they
really,
tax that?
I don't think so. I don't know that they can control the Craigslist and the eBay type stuff in terms of tax.
I don't know.
Because also, that's a resale. I don't know how that would work.
What they would do is they would probably require eBay to, I'm not giving them ideas, but they would probably tax it through eBay. Yeah, I have an eBay store. That's why I don't have anything on it right now, really. But
I do. And that is a good question, because I also, in my one of my previous lives, I owned a bookstore and I sold new and used books, and I did charge tax on the used books.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fun. It's just a little, you know.
But if you're
the bad thing is just a sign of the times. I mean, everything's getting more and more regulated, and we're probably not going to talk about politics today. But
hope not.
our world is changing drastically. So who knows? Anything's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I do try to stay away from heavy duty politics on the show, just because there's so many radio shows already doing that. We don't need to be one of them, really.
Yeah.
However, some of the business issues do touch on politics, and it's kind of hard to avoid it sometimes. But the thing about the, you know, I don't mind paying the tax. In a way, it seems more fair, because it is weird sometimes when you're buying something online from one place, you have to pay tax, and from someplace else, you don't. You know, like if I buy from, let's say, Banana Republic, I have to pay tax because they have a store here. But if I buy from Amazon, I don't. You know, it's a little bit odd, and it's sort of not fair to some of the retailers, right? Because people want to buy from the out-of-state vendor. So it's sort of the opposite of going local. I don't know. It is a challenge.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how far they get with it and how much consumers scream and holler, because it is going to raise the amount of money we're spending,
right.
You know. And I don't think the economy is quite,
not quite yet.
Caught up with us yet. It's getting better.
It is getting better.
It is better.
It's getting better.
You see a lot of good indicators.
Yes. Housing sales are up.
Housing sales are up.
Job rates, I think, are stable. Like, they're not getting worse. I don't know if they're really getting better, but they're not getting worse. So, all right. Speaking of, now that we're on to serious topics, I do have one serious topic to talk about. And that is, and I said we don't talk politics, but yeah. I'm going to talk religion, which is like the other thing that you're just really not ever supposed to do.
Oh, wow.
In like polite company. I guess
you didn't warn us about this.
You guys are not polite company, apparently. both Google and Lego, the companies, had some issues with faith recently. Google got in trouble. You know, got in trouble is, no, they didn't actually get in trouble, but people complained because on Easter, they, you know how they change their logo when you go to google.com? Sometimes just for fun, they make it look like
right.
a holiday or
right.
whatever. Well, they didn't do that on Easter. Instead, they put up something about Cesar Chavez because it was his birthday, I think, or something. So they did that instead of Easter. And so all the Christians were like, what the heck? It's Easter. Why don't you have Easter eggs? And, you know, so they weren't happy with that. And then Lego did something with their Star Wars toy set that upset Muslims, because apparently the one of the castles or whatever looked too much like a
mosque.
Yes, like a mosque.
Wow.
And so I bring it up only because I do think it's a very interesting, another very fine line you have to walk as a business. You know, we talked about pranking your customers and how is that going to make them feel. And in this case, it's the opposite. It's like people, in a way, in my opinion, people are too sensitive, and everything has to be so politically correct that it's silly to me.
Right.
Just because they didn't put Easter on there doesn't mean they don't like Christians.
Right.
No,
right.
No.
I mean, it was just a choice somebody made in the marketing department. You know, one dude probably made that choice, or one woman, you know.
Well, if you're a Muslim, I'm going to be sensitive to you, but I'm not going to change my behavior, who I am and who I believe, because of that.
Right.
Your
and
faith
that's
is a choice
that's
to me.
Happening.
So it doesn't bother me when I see things like that. I don't.
Well, it's interesting because, right, the Muslim complaint about the toy looking like a mosque was kind of interesting, because Star Wars, the movies, some of the desert scenes did have that feel, and some of the outfits and stuff did have kind of a So they were just mimicking, I guess is the right word,
right.
the movies. You know, they were right. mimicking what was actually in the movies, and they certainly didn't intend to make it look like a Muslim mosque.
Well, that says a lot right there. What was their intent?
Right.
I mean, if your intent is pure and, you know, you're convicted in that, you know,
yeah.
leave it alone. If it
Everyone
bothers you, that's your fault.
Is always going to have their opinion, right?
Right. So I guess you can't please all the people all
no.
the time. You know, I was saying, you know, having and I mean, I'm sure you have experienced this because, you know, with you at the club where
right.
you are, you know, you're dealing with the public. You have a public facing property where people can drive up and,
right.
and drive around and look at it. So you're not going to want, you probably don't walk around with your clients and talk about religion and politics.
No.
Right. Because you want everyone to love you.
Right.
You know, you don't want to, if somebody, you
we're,
know.
We're a place to get away from all that. We're a home away from home.
Well, and so the
people
last.
People don't want that in their life. They're coming up there to relax and enjoy and, you know, create life memories.
Right. The last thing that you want to do is polarize people.
Right.
It's a very fine line, I think, companies walk in expressing, you know, the whole thing with Chick-fil-A and gay marriage. And
right.
then there have been, you know, there's just so many things where companies, you know, can push people away. It's difficult, I guess, and a challenge, I think, for all companies. I know even with my little bookstore, we were very careful to have right-wing political books and left-wing political books and have about the same number of both.
Right.
And same thing with religious topics, to have
right.
a little bit of everything, and not on our cars in the parking lot, not to have political bumper stickers, or because we wanted everyone to be our customers.
Right.
We didn't want to be divisive. We didn't want to say, well, we're a Republican bookstore or we're a Democratic bookstore. You know, we just wanted to be a bookstore.
It's funny. I knew a man and his wife, and she was in politics. So, and when they built their home, there's a right wing and a left wing.
Oh my God!
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's
they
totally
both are
awesome.
Different. You know, they have different opinions about.
I love that. That is really great.
Yeah.
Well, that's that made me think of something else.
But it works.
Hey, you know, just interesting for businesses.
It depends on the people.
It's like, you know, that guy in marketing at Google who made the decision to put up the Cesar Chavez thing. I'm sure, didn't think twice about it. Probably forgot it was Easter. You know, maybe the guy, who knows, right? I mean, I forgot it was Easter like four times this year. People had to remind me, oh, it's Easter this weekend. Oh, all right. I had other stuff going on. I forgot.
I did.
You know, but it was probably an innocent mistake. Again, it wasn't, again, I'm quite sure that Google has no problem with Christians, you know, and the last thing they want to do is piss off a huge group of people. So anyway, it's just a really interesting fine line. And I wonder how much energy goes into that every day in businesses across the country and across the world.
Our church did a setter supper. They're just kind of doing what other cultures would do and other faiths would do.
Interesting.
Just to show
educate.
People what, yes, to educate.
Yeah.
Our pastors and theologists. So it was interesting.
I think we pay too much attention to it. So, you know, it becomes a bigger issue than it really should be.
I agree. I mean, I happen to be Jewish, although non-practicing, and I could care less if someone wishes me a Merry Christmas. I say Merry Christmas right back. Like, it does not offend me. I don't care. Happy Easter to you. Like, happy whatever. I don't care. It absolutely.
Nelly Kalikimaka.
Yeah, it does not offend me at all. And so I think people are too sensitive. I think it just
goes down to the person's core. You know, how strong do you feel about yourself? If you're strong in your own convictions, you can say anything you want to me. It's not going to bother me. It's
right.
up to you.
You got to be comfortable in your own skin.
You have to choose whether it upsets you or not.
I remember many years ago when I was in my early 20s or mid-20s, I had a girlfriend who...
That couldn't have been too long ago.
Oh,
I know.
Love you guys. Oh, it was a long time ago. Anyway, I had a girlfriend from college who found the Lord and found religion and all this after college. And so the whole time I was, you know, in her presence and with her in college, she was not religious at all. But I went to visit her, you know, a couple of years after college, and she had gotten very, very religious, Christian. And I'm still me, the same, non-practicing Jew, whatever.
Right.
And so I go, and I'm also a smart aleck, if you haven't figured that out. So I go, and I'm with her, and we're at Disneyland or something, and I start making a joke, literally like one of these. So a priest and a rabbi walk into a bar, and she got offended, like immediately. She was like, oh, I don't want to hear it, you know, hands over her ears.
No way.
Sounds like a joke.
I said, yeah, right. And I said, what is the problem? And she was like, well, I don't want to hear anything negative about religion. I don't want to hear it. And I thought, wow. I mean, you have to learn in this world how to filter out and not retain what you don't want to retain. You can't make other people not say it or not do it. You just have to, like, if that bothers you, just don't retain it.
No, I mean, really, that behavior, or anybody's behavior, really is a reflection on how you feel about yourself.
And I think in her defense, she was really new to the whole thing and hadn't found her footing yet. And I think probably now, 20 some odd years later or whatever, she's probably not like that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a long time, but you know. But it's another thing, you know, if when people say to me, like, I'll pray for you or whatever, and I know that they're praying to their God and not mine, quote unquote, I could care less. I'm like, good, pray for me. That's great. I'll take it. You know, if something goes wrong or, you know,
sure.
I'm good with that, you know? All right. One last thing I always love to do on this show is
something goes wrong.
Well, I just had a little health issue.
I had a little health issue
and people were offering to pray for me and I was like all about it
to whoever you want.
It's all positive.
Exactly.
I will take it. It's all positive. I will take it. And frankly, I do think all that helps. So.
Sure it does.
Okay.
So one of the things I love to do on the show before we get to you guys and what you do in your everyday lives is lists. I love lists. I like to do top 10 lists and top 5 lists. So I sort of do whatever crops up. And randomly today, something cropped up that I thought was interesting, which is CNN put out a list of the 7 of the world's most entertaining airports. Now, Atlanta sadly did not make the list, even though CNN is headquartered right here. But it's really about literally the most fun and entertaining airports. And I mean, Atlanta's a lovely airport. It's nice. It's relatively well organized and all of that. But it's not particularly fun.
I haven't been to an entertaining, fun airport.
Well, let me read some of these.
I know what you're talking about, though.
There are some really interesting ones. So I'm going to just read you some of the stuff because our listeners, too, I'm sure, are business travelers. And so if you get a chance to go to some of these places, you got to check it out. And call us and let us know if they really are entertaining.
Right.
Singapore. Singapore has, let's see, they have free Wi-Fi, big deal. Rooftop pool and jacuzzi, which has been open to passengers since the late 1990s. Now, can you imagine like getting in your bathing suit and going swimming while you're waiting for your next connecting flight?
That's unreal.
Very bizarre. They also have...
I mean, I'll take the layover here.
Yeah.
I know. They also have...
Can I go with you?
Yeah, let's all go to Singapore. I think there's a flight leaving pretty soon. They also have an interactive art gallery, a children's fun slide, and an on-site nature trail. And they also give free city tours of Singapore to any passenger who has a layover of more than 5 hours.
Wow.
Which is super cool because I have to say, I had a long layover in France, mm-hmm. in Paris, and I really wanted to go see the city. And it was so hard to figure out how to do it in a quick 8 hour. Like I had to be back, you know, and I didn't know the language and it was very hard to figure out. But in Singapore,
that is
they
a cool
take care
idea.
Of it.
Right.
Very cool. Nashville, our very own Nashville, is on the list. Because of the country music and everything that goes on in Nashville, they actually put on live concerts in the airport for travelers. So that's pretty
sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They host upwards of 100 free events every year. San Francisco also makes the list for their elaborate art installations. The San Francisco Museum, the SFO, has 20 galleries across 4 terminals and I think that's all, but they have actual events. Like, it's not just like Atlanta where they have some stuff up that's been up for years. They actually have shows that come through and all of that. That one's not so exciting to me. But Seoul, Korea, if you want to go to Seoul, they have, get this, you guys, an ice rink, a casino, a spa and sauna, and that's just, and an 18-hole golf course.
The ice rink sounds fun.
Wow. I like the golf course idea.
They have a golf course. Okay, I'm going to start lay over here and play 9 holes and then get on the plane.
Right.
I mean, right? Munich has...
what about a sushi bar? No.
I bet. I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of food, though, Munich has a Bavarian-style tavern complete with its own brewery and traditional German beer gardens, and it serves up to 110,000 gallons of homemade hops every year in the terminal.
Wow.
So that makes it fun just because everyone's drunk.
Or maybe not.
I wonder if they've done any kind of studies like the, you know, to determine what kind of, do people change their itineraries to match those airports?
That's a good question. And also with all those activities, I think some of them it does mention, like for the other two cities on here are Sydney and Hong Kong. And it does mention that like in Hong Kong, the amenities are open to residents as well. So you don't have to be traveling to go use the amenities at the airport. So they have... Hong Kong is the only airport in the world to have IMAX. They have an IMAX cinema.
Oh, wow.
In the movie.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
They show 2D and 3D movies and Hollywood blockbusters, and they even have a 4D extreme screen. And but the residents can come in and watch movies also. So, yeah.
But that's cool because that way, I mean, you have usually have a carry-on or something like that, and some things are inconvenient.
Yeah.
Maybe, to go off property or... You know,
yeah.
Find a locker and go play 9 holes of golf.
Yeah,
but there you can just take your bag right into the reclining chair and watch a movie.
Chill out. Yeah, in Sydney, the last one on the list, they take a holistic approach. So they have a 30-meter vertical garden with 8,400 plants.
Wow.
And they also have a restaurant and day spa with treatment rooms where you can even like take a shower and all of that. Like you can go have a treatment, take a shower, and then get your clothes back on and get on your next flight.
Cool.
Can you imagine?
I like that.
But it goes to, everybody's looking for the experience. You know, they're trying to enhance. I mean, it's funny that you take an airport. You wouldn't think about it that way. But they're trying to enhance the experience that a person has there to make it more pleasurable.
As long as they don't change the gate while you're gone and then
right.
come back.
Yeah. Right. And then right. you come back and you're like, right.
I was supposed to be in that Terminal D, and I started off in Terminal A.
Just hope that you're going to, some nice city, just in case.
It's interesting because I do wonder, you're right. I mean, I do wonder what motivates the cities to spend the money like that to put some of that stuff in. And does it really bring in more revenue for the city? Do people actually change their travel plans to take part in that stuff? I wonder what the real...
Well, I was thinking about that last night, because I came in and I got a room at, Embassy Suites up in the Galleria area. And, found out they had open bar, liquor bar for two hours.
You're like,
And they do it every night. I mean...
Well, you would go there again, right? Because that's a good deal.
Yeah, I'm not even supposed to. I'm going there tonight, probably.
Well, the thing is, like, even if you just have one drink and it was free, that's a drink you didn't have to pay for. So, if you're going to, all right, maybe two drinks. All right, seven, whatever.
Date night. No.
Yeah. Like, it's free drinks.
What are you doing later?
Oh, my God. Ron is a troublemaker. Are you already drinking this morning?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Well, let's get to you guys.
I'm not answering that question.
That's fair.
My boss is listening.
No. Let's get to you guys because while you're
Others
both
are.
Maybe I should not get to you guys because I think there's two troublemakers in this room that are not named Dana.
There are three.
Okay, there's three. You're right. You guys are obviously in very different industries, and I just want to point out that you're both here because of the lovely World Trade Center, one of our sponsors, and Lilia.
Lilia is a gem over there.
Lilia is a gem, and she sends us a lot of really great guests from really interesting companies and lines of work, and so we're always happy to kind of have members of the World Trade Center on the show.
She just got promoted, you know.
I did not know that.
No.
She's a GM.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's right. She's fabulous, isn't she?
Congratulations to Lilia.
Yeah.
Any listeners from the World Trade Center, make sure to go congratulate
them.
Janie, let's talk to you first because I think once we get Ron started, there'll be no stopping him.
All right.
Look
absolutely.
At him.
No.
I told you when we started this thing, there's two girls and one guy.
You're
I don't
deferring
have a chance.
To us. It's true. we had Dan from V-Rooms not too long ago.
That's right.
But give us a little, for people who didn't maybe catch that show, give us a little bit of what V-Rooms is and your role there.
Right. Well, Dan Bradbury is our founder and CEO, and he started this company about 7 years ago. And my role in the company is to build the referral partner program in the Atlanta market and also, you know, to sell direct. So it's an indirect and a direct sales model.
So how big is the company in terms of number of employees?
We have about 15 employees currently, and we have a very responsive, I would say highly secure information exchange is what we do.
Right.
But we have a very responsive sales and marketing team, and they're out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
And then Dan, our CEO, is in the Delray Beach area.
Okay.
And then I'm here in Atlanta. We also work with Quality Technology Services, which is our data center. We've been there for 7 years, which speaks volumes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about secure data because you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about big data, big data, big data.
Right.
It's like there's big data week coming
up.
And big data is a huge thing. And we had somebody on from Microsoft a couple of weeks ago. And I said, listen, for people that are not in technology, I want you to back all the way down and explain big data.
Yeah.
And he did. And the thing is, it's not so complicated. It really is just what it sounds like. There's a lot of data out there in the world. Though, one of the things that he mentioned in his discussion, and I'm going to bring this back to V-Rooms in a second, is that, you know, everything, all machines out there, and including our smartphones, are collecting data all the time. And so all this data goes somewhere.
Absolutely.
And then companies are trying to figure out what to do with it. So for me, I was like, oh, I don't like that. I don't want my cell phone data I don't really want my cell phone company to, and they can know exactly where I was at what time of day. Because if I stole $3,000 from the Walmart, they'd know because I'd have my cell phone on me and they would have been like, oh, that was her. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying it is a little big brother and a little bit scary. One of the things that is, I think, scary is protecting that data. Because if it's out there, it means somebody can hack in and get it.
Right.
And so when we're doing all this cloud computing now, we're doing all this Dropbox and, all these different ways you send it and all these different ways to sort of send our files around. It's not particularly secure, is it?
It is not. It is not. And a lot of people say, well, I just use Google Docs, so why not? And Google Docs is great for what it is.
Right.
However, if you need a very highly secure solution, and a lot of people need it, not sitting on their servers because they don't have the capacity to sit the software on their servers. Our software is managed and hosted. So you can actually, we can have you up and running and within 2 hours in a secure V-Room or virtual data room,
right,
which is managed in the cloud. And we don't need to download or install anything. We will issue your client or you username and passwords. And then you go in and you upload through digital documents, electronic documents, what you want in the cloud. So, you know, it's highly secure to the point that maybe the only people can get it. It is triple encrypted. It's HIPAA compliant. It's SSAE2. I'm a techie person.
I love all the buzzwords. Go, Janie.
And it's just fabulous. I've been in the software industry since 1999, and I've worked with cloud computing, when they called it the ASP, or when it was AirWare, or when they had to download the thin client on the Citrix thin client.
Sure.
And of course, Cisco servers are still around, and now Microsoft is around, and you know, you can get your Microsoft right at your desk. And people 10 years ago said that's not going to happen, and it's way beyond that now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where we're all headed.
Well, and I think this idea of secure data transfer is huge, because even for, you know, even for a business like yours, Ron, I mean, I think the idea that if I want to buy a property, that I could, I could actually, if I'm just emailing attachments to you with my social security number or my bank account information, that's uncomfortable for people. And, you know, if that's a service that a company like yours could provide and say, hey, you know, we have this really secure way of, you can upload your documents and they're totally secure. How cool would that be?
Yeah, the FDIC actually approached us and wanted us to do some things for them. And we have a lot of business through Google. And also we have the presence of me here in Atlanta currently, and I'm actually crossing global channels with some of my partners that I've built here in Atlanta, like Definition 6 and Synaptic Digital, that have 12 locations, and Blytheco, which is the largest Sage reseller, and I don't want to fail to mention the World Trade Center is our new partner, and Mohammed Elsawa with M Global Consulting has actually put us in touch with them, and it's just been on fire. Actually, we have a lot of great new partners coming on board, and it's growing very quickly. And the one of the top 9 or 10 businesses to be in today is the virtual data rooms. And again, I'm building the partner program. So if you're interested, then please get in touch with me.
Well, that brings up an interesting question for me, because I think security and data security is something a lot of people are thinking about right now. Who are your competitors? Are there a lot of competitors in this space?
I mean, we do have competitors. There are a lot of really, really good virtual data rooms. There's the top 50 listed out there, and VRooms is one of the top 50.
Yeah.
And also, we were voted the number one data room in the private equity sector for 2012.
Congratulations.
So we're trying to keep that spot. Some of the people that we work with that we run into are Merrill and SharePoint.
Okay.
And not so much Intralinks, but they're, you know, they're there. I think Merrill was one of the first ones out there.
So how do you stay competitive? I mean, what do you do to kind of stay ahead of the curve?
Well, we have FINRA, who's always testing. And again, we're triple encrypted. We, like I said, we've been with the Quality Technology Services for 7 years. So we're always, always.
You know,
we have a lot of clients. We have about 48,000, 35,000 on the users, as far as about 1,000 clients. And we're always, you know, we're always being told, and we're always being testing.
Yeah.
So that's,
I guess I just wonder, like, you know, as the technology grows, because I know we used to just say encrypted was enough, and now you have to be triple encrypted.
But you know what? It's really important, too, is the people that work for our company and the responsiveness that you get when you're calling, because when you need something and you need a data room, and these guys in the financial sector, I'm a new member with the Association for Corporate Growth, and the first, we just had the Atlanta ACG, I just came back from the Dallas ACG, and I'm headed to the Intergrowth in Orlando. These guys do between 65 and 85% of their deals during that meeting, and when they need a virtual data room, it's required by government to get these deals, like, you know, secured. And so they work with virtual data. They work with
us. And they need it now.
Oh, they need it now.
They need it yesterday.
Yeah. And then, of course, lawyers work with it, and project managers that are doing commercial infrastructure projects that need to make sure they know where everything is internally and both externally, you know, outsource. What are the outsource guys doing? What are people doing with our money? They can keep track of it. And we also have tracking and notification for full auditing purposes. So it is an amazing application. We have a really great product, and it's very different than a Google Docs.
Yeah. Well, I love to talk about stuff like this on the show, because I think, you know, I certainly enjoy entertaining people and giving them stuff to talk about around the water cooler. But I also like to, you know, everybody's talking about that guy at Walmart now. You know they are. But I really also like to educate. And I think, you know, sometimes we don't all have time to stay up on the latest technology. I mean, you know, if you're not in a technology career, you know, all of a sudden something comes up and maybe the name of it confuses you or you don't really know what it is or how to leverage it for your business. So I love to kind of dig into some of these things sometimes.
Well, let me give you another little example, because you're doing online and you're ordering online.
Yeah, sure.
Well, these retailers that are doing imported and exporting, they have to meet regulations, and importing regulations, they can be electronic documents, so they could actually use this very easily and be secure and be compliant.
Yeah.
And if you're in, and exporting has about, you know, a big yellow page book or whatever full of things they have to comply by, but for the most part, they can also use electronic documents.
Yeah, it's just interesting to think about the types of applications, and that at some point it is going to have to get trickled down to the individual level, because how many times, I don't know about you guys, but how many times have you gotten those letters from your from a credit card company or something saying, our data's been compromised. We don't think we lost your stuff, but we might have, so you might want to blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God,
well,
you know?
We have a free trial. And
that's a perfect segue, Janie. If someone wants more information about V-Rooms, how do they get it?
Oh, they can call me, Janie Shelton. And I can be contacted through the World Trade Center membership, the City Club Buckhead membership. They have my information out there.
And is there a website for V-Rooms also?
And there is. There's www.v-rooms.com.
Okay, v-rooms.com. Yes. All right. Let's move over to Ron, who's been waiting patiently.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that.
And as much as people... Oh, absolutely. As much as people need to worry about data, they also need to worry about... Not worrying about data, right.
Enjoying their life.
That's right. So tell me about the Kerhe Club.
The Kerhe Club is probably one of the best kept secrets in Georgia. And it's a hidden jewel that we came upon about a year and a half ago. The company I work for is Arundale.
Okay.
And there was an original owner. And sometimes, unfortunately, the people that make a venture go are the second owners in the deal. So we've spent the last year just trying to reposition this very high-end mountain lake property. It's right up on the border of North Georgia, and we're right on Lake Hartwell.
Okay, so for people who haven't driven up there, like if we're driving from Atlanta, how do we go and how long does it take?
Go straight up 85, okay. Get off the exit 173, Livonia exit, and it's 15 miles from there. So it's a very easy hour and a half drive from Atlanta.
Ooh, I love the mountains.
So hour and a half to like this beautiful like hidden gem.
It's a hidden gem. I mean, you may curse me on the way up there. I mean, thinking, where in the heck am I going? when you get off the interstate, you're going to go through some, you know, some farm country.
What would the three of us do there? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, get into trouble. Are there free drinks up there?
You meet me at the bar.
There you go.
it's a gorgeous property. There was, when we purchased the property, there was $110 million worth of assets on there. There was a $20 million Jim Fazio-designed world-class golf course.
Right.
We just got an accolade. We got awarded the Rolex Award this year, one of the top golf courses, 1,000 golf courses in the world.
Oh, wow.
It's a very prestigious award. So we have that. It's... it's easy to get to. It's just that people didn't know about it. The original developer made it extremely high-end, and he didn't let hardly anybody in there to see the property. There's people in Tocoa that have never been up to the property.
Wow.
So kind of my mission is to...
do the opposite of that, right?
Well, yeah. As you can tell, I'm already... I'm down here trying to create goodwill and let people know that we're a friendly group of... management team up there.
Yeah.
And we basically reposition everything. Instead of being a, you know, $50,000 initiation fee club, now we're anywhere from $1,500 to $10,000.
Okay.
And we have 1,200 acres. It's just gorgeous.
So let me make sure I understand. So there's a golf course and a bunch of homes. And no homes.
It's a development.
I'm making stuff up as I go.
Yeah. It's a development that started 12 years ago.
Okay.
They built this 48,000 square foot spectacular clubhouse.
Okay, gotcha.
They built a world-class golf course.
All right.
And then they started selling some lots. And, okay. And then, you know, the economy went down, the real estate market went down.
Yep.
And then, so we come in. And there's only 32 homes.
Okay.
There.
Okay,
now.
Okay.
So we're, again, we were able to purchase at a price where we can come in at these price points that are just going to blow the Atlanta market away. And
Are there still lots for sale then as well?
Oh, yes. There's, we have 700 lots. We have 32 homes.
Okay.
So there's a lot to be done yet.
I gotcha. Okay.
Are there cabins? Are there any cabins in there?
There's no cabins, but they're more, we have five different styles of homes. We have, and our homes go anywhere from 400,000 to a million in general. Our lots go from 60,000 to 400,000 on the, with some property on the lake.
That's a nice development.
We have a lake park. We just spent $2.5 million in kind of where our industry is going in the club business is, you know, the clubs that are just a good old blue blood club, boys club.
Right.
They're going by the wayside.
Yeah.
It's the family, you know, environment, the experience what we talked about with the airports and the and the embassy suite here. That's where the name of the game is going. So we just built a $2.5 million amenity structure. It's got tennis. It's got pool, swimming pool. It's got fitness.
Janie and I will be over.
I know.
Well, we'll talk about that when I get out.
So you guys, as the management group, are both trying to get memberships in the club and to sell lots. Am I getting that?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right now, I can't sell anybody anything, so I'm down here trying to create awareness.
Okay.
I need you to come up and visit because I can't even accurately describe it. And I've been in the club business my whole life. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything, and I've been in the Georgia market for a long time. It'll just blow you away.
Yeah.
It's because you really don't it's hard for you to feel like you are going to the mountains, but when you're there, you feel like you're on a mountain. And you can see the vistas are incredible. The views are spectacular.
Right.
If you go to our website, you'll see what I'm talking about. It'll wow you.
So for the golfing, there are members, obviously, as you mentioned, and different membership levels and all of that. But
Right. Can
people just also go on? Is it open to the public? Can you
it
go
is
on
not
and
open
play?
To the public. It's a private club community. But
okay.
Obviously, right now, you know, we have introductory price, and we're trying to get people up there.
Yeah.
So we have a social sports membership. It's only $150 a month and $1,500 initiation fee.
Yeah.
And so that people can come up there and experience it and enjoy the fitness and the tennis and the pool. And we have bocce ball, basketball, volleyball, grand lawn playground. We got an arcade room for the kids. We got a pool room in our clubhouse. It's our billiard room.
So now where do you feel like, where are the members primarily coming from geographically? Are they from that area, like close in, or are they from down here?
Well, we're going to get a core base from the local market.
Okay.
And then it's going to be a second home community.
Okay.
So, you know, people in Atlanta, it's perfect. I mean, literally over at the World Trade Center is just sending us all kinds of, you know, leads. We just met with a couple of real estate companies yesterday. They told me yesterday they don't think we're going to be able to build houses fast enough.
Once people really start to see what's
up
there.
Yeah, they were floored by it.
And wow.
They're sending a team up to see us next week. And then we couldn't have spent $1 million in advertising this year, but we got Southern Living to partner with us. And they're building Southern Living started their showcase home a month ago. It'll be open in September.
Nice.
And that usually attracts, you know, like 20,000 people just coming up there to see that one house.
Yeah. Yeah, those are all really cool.
So I think we're on a perfect storm track.
Right.
The lake's looking good. You know, we've rebuilt the community's faith in us. There's just we have a lot to offer, and you know, in a mountain lake living lifestyle.
Now, do you live up there?
I do.
And do you love it?
It's awesome.
you look very happy. Relaxed. But that could be the Embassy Suites drinks. I don't know.
No. It's just, I mean, it's a fun business I'm in.
You mentioned that you've been in the club business for a long time. So give me a little bit of your background.
Well, I started off as a tennis professional.
Oh, really?
Still am a tennis professional. My two kids are tennis pros, and my two boys are. But I've been in but I got with Club Corporation of America, which you probably know about. But I was with them for 13 years, and I've been with American Golf Corporation. So I've been with the two largest private club corporations in the world. So my background is private clubs.
Gotcha.
And then 2 years ago, I have this I love working with little kids. So the United States Tennis Association had a 10 and under initiative, and they built the largest tendon under facility in Tampa, Florida. So I went down and opened that up and ran that for 2 years.
Cool.
And kind of got that out of my system one last time. And,
yeah.
And then I have family in Greenville. So, and my mom had some health issues. So I said, man, you know, I need to get back to the corporate world, get back to the, I lived in Greenville for 12 years. So I'm familiar with this territory. And, you know, to me, this is, there's not a better place in the United States to be.
Wow.
Than this area. So I feel very blessed.
You know, it's really interesting talking to both of you because we're, you know, we're obviously talking about your businesses and kind of what they are and the advantages for customers and all those things. But I also always find career paths so interesting because, you know, when you're 17 or 16 and you're trying to decide what you want to be when you grow up, nobody ever thinks like, I'm going to go into club world. Like, who even thinks that that's a thing you can do? I'm going to go into the club world, the
club
business of clubs. Like, who, you don't think about that. You know, and certainly you might think, oh, I like technology, but to think like secure data and specifically, I, you know, it's just so interesting where people end up because I'm sure both of you at 16 didn't think you would be where you are right now. Because you couldn't have imagined it.
Yeah, right. I think I like what I do because I, you know, I've been a general manager most of my life.
Yeah.
So going and being involved in just membership sales and real estate, this is actually really fun because I don't have to deal with a lot of the, you know, food and beverage headaches. And,
right.
You know, other,
right.
other things.
Right.
But, you know, the thing about our industry is I can't, you can't be an expert at all those disciplines.
Right.
And, you know, so I think I like that part of it. You know, I'm not just one thing. I'm a bunch of things.
Right, right.
I'm very passionate about technology, but also health and alternative medicine.
Yeah, it's so just interesting like, that, you know,
technology, what technology, I know, like, even when I was younger, it's like calculator. I was excited about the calculator.
You wanted to play with it and figure out how and, things worked.
And as I got older, it just evolved. And yeah, I loved
it all. I mean, I've done a lot of different things in my career. And I know, I remember, I love doing radio and I love doing television. And I know growing up, obviously there was radio then and there was television then, but it didn't even occur to me that I could have a job doing that. Just didn't seem like...
Well, you do a great job at
that. Oh, thank you so much. But you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just interesting to see how people kind of wind their way into the careers that ultimately make them so happy. You know, it's really fascinating. But before we get too far away from you, Ron, please give contact information for Currahee Club. So if people are interested and want to come out and see you, they can do that.
Well, the best way is on our website, www.currahee club.com.
Okay.
My email is ron@currahee club.com. And our phone number is 706-827-1000.
It's always a test if people remember their own phone
numbers. Well, I was going to get my cell phone out there.
Then people call you at 3 in the morning. You don't want to do that.
Depends on who it is.
That's true. That's true. Some people you take the call. Other people you block the number forever. well, it's been really great having you both. I want to thank both Janie Shelton from V-Rooms and Ron, I'm going to butcher your last name again, Hakala.
Very good.
Nice. Ron Hakala from the Currahee Club.
There you go.
Both of you guys, it's been great to have you. And, of course, thanks to Lilia from the World Trade Center for
bringing
you both.
GM.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lilia.
I know. I can't believe
Lilia's great.
She snuck in a promotion. I didn't even know about it. I'm going to have to.
She's so modest.
Have drinks with her or something. It's time. There's been a lot of Where talk about that? Drinking today. Maybe we should all go to the Singapore airport and have some drinks. I don't know.
All right.
I want the spa.
I know. The spa does sound good, doesn't it? I have to say, as we close out the show, sometimes I wonder about even the little bit of fun stuff in airports because I'm usually running through. Like I wouldn't have time to participate in all that. So I always do kind of wonder, like even when I go to the Atlanta airport, you guys, and I see all those people out in the main concourse, like before security, they're just sitting there and like eating in those restaurants in the main concourse, and I'm always like, who are these people? What are they doing here? Like,
they don't have any time.
Yeah, why do they have 4 hours to sit in the main? Like, they haven't even gone through security. I don't get it. It's very strange. All right. On that note, I think that about wraps us up. Yeah.
This is fun.
Aw, well, I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Thank you.
But that,
thank you very much.
That does about wrap it up for us. I already thanked our lovely guests, Janie and Ron, for being here, but I also want to thank World Trade Center Atlanta officially. You can learn more about the World Trade Center by visiting WTCAtlanta.com. You've been listening to Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about them at AtlantaDowntown.com and be sure to stay tuned for a lot more great programming here on BusinessRadioX.com. I'm Dana Barrett for Good Morning Atlanta, and we'll see you next week.